And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast. We're talking about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hey, everybody.
And actually, I'm going to extend your intro because you have a project.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I'm going to make you plug your project.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about last week. Robo V Dino is coming to Steam, and if you actually clicked on the link to check it out, you might notice that local co-op mode was what was advertised on the page. And if you're a previous listener, you might be thinking, wait, co-op mode is a thing that they've never talked about with Robo V Dino before. That's because it's a new feature, and there's totally like a prototype for it now. So I'm in the process of testing that, and it looks like we're going to have a co-op for Robo V Dino. Mm-hmm. And not just like two player, like I'm not sure how many players I want to do. I've got tests out to do up to like 10 right now. You do 10 local co-op. I might scale back a bit because that's a little insane, but I want to like actually test out with that many and see how it works. I'll basically have to have like two basketball teams like play for a movie Dino at once.
That sounds like fun.
Dude, we might have I'm kind of hoping so.
Might have to have some epic game night, yeah.
So yeah, a little crazy. To go check it out on Steam. Robo V Dino is like currently up there, or you can check it out on Itch. If you search for Robo V Dino, all one word, RobovDino, you should find it.
On Itch?
Yeah, itch.io. It's a game distribution service that's kind of geared toward developers. They'll basically let anybody submit anything for free, and then they just take like a profit cut for any point of sale transactions you do. So it's kind of a great deal for like independent developers. But it's still pretty new and it's still gaining traction. It's been around like 10 years less than Steam has pretty much. So it's still like trying to get some traction, but it's already got like a pretty big library, and it's got like a desktop client, all that fun stuff. So it's like a completely viable platform. It just doesn't have as big of an audience yet.
Ah, well, that sounds cool.
All right. That's also where the development blog for Robo V Dino is. So if you find it on itch.io, you can check it out that way too. Or just go to robovdino.com and follow the link to the itch.io page. It should be on the left side of the Robo V Dino homepage.
Well, there we go. See? Get to talk about... Actually, that's the other thing. I have one question I forgot to ask, actually. If it's on Steam, when can I buy it on Steam?
It's coming second quarter 2018. I haven't said a month. I haven't said a month yet for the release date. There's some other features that I'm trying to get into it, so I'm not totally sure if it's how much that's going to delay it or if it's going to delay it at all. So I've got an internal deadline for it, but yeah, it's going to probably be somewhere in second quarter 2018. So somewhere between like probably March and all the way to June, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, then that's why I actually ran to that page. Like, I'm going to buy it. Oh, no, not yet. But yes, it's on my watch list.
Nice.
Yeah, totally going to get it. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to make that a thing for you, though. And we now also have Anna.
Yes, I'm here.
And if you want to plug anything, do you have anything to plug?
Not necessarily, but I know Ted's not here.
Oh. Yeah, he would plug things away.
Yeah, he's on the work convention right now in Vegas. So, like I said, it's actually the second time this year he's gone without me.
Oh,
we shall shame him, and you must make him listen to the podcast now. We need the shame bell.
Yeah,
shame,
I guess so.
Shame. I don't have a good bell. Just download the app. There's an app. There's a shame bell app.
Is there?
Yes. There's lots of shame bell apps, generally.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are people so down on bells?
Well, no, it's a Game of Thrones thing.
Oh, shame bell. I think it said shame bill.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I heard shame bill.
Hey,
yeah, I was really confused. I'm like, man, does everybody hate bills? Like, just you got Bill in your life, you don't like him?
Oh, apparently, I guess.
Like, that's why you're so nice all the time. You like, people are just so mean to you. Like, you're like a kicked puppy.
And I'm just like, be nice. Look at my puppy, dog eyes.
And they just whip out their phone, like, look at my app for shaming you. And it's like, oh, yep. No.
Another one. Well, I can plug my shaming Bill app. No, I don't know. That's why there's
not
so many
Bill shamers.
Yeah. I just need to make money for every ring they do.
You should get a cut of that. Like, I mean, they couldn't have a bill shaming app without bills.
Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of bills. There may be some other bills that want some of the cut. I might not make much of a cut.
There could be like a fund or like a subsidy for being a bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is there's so many. I may currently already be getting my amount that I my cut.
Because there's so many bills in the world.
There is. I'm just waiting for that first cent. It's kind of like when you start doing the cryptocurrencies and you're like, come on, first.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. First micro .0.0.0.1 Bitcoin or Billcoin after like a year of mining.
That's sad.
That's shameful.
Yeah. I've mined. I didn't mine even with good computers or with at the good time either. So yeah. I'll have a penny in like 100 years for my bill shaming app. My part of it.
Have you actually looked into like the kind of hardware it takes to like mine a Bitcoin these days or like any cryptocurrency? Like there's like online calculators for doing that, and it's absurd like how much like what the like what the ground floor investment is to actually make like a viable machine. Oh geez, got phone freaking out. To make like a viable machine for Bitcoin mining.
Bitcoin's way worse than all the others. You have to get like high end GPU, you know, or even just graphic cards. But you also need to balance out how much, because some people are moving away from graphics cards because they were power intensive, so they started working towards just, you know, low power GPUs. And because you have less power, because otherwise you're spending more time mining or more money on the electricity to mine than you would be making.
Yeah, that's like the big barrier to entry, just like cheap power.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost as bad as making a penny, right?
Yeah.
Like it costs more than just a penny.
Yeah.
You have to I think instead of like copper, it's just crazy math.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why some of the other ones came around, because you could get into it. Yes, they're not nearly as big or nearly worth as much, but some of them did like really gain traction. They're still not worth a whole lot, but they're easier to mine.
There's different kinds of like Bitcoins, right? Like
or cryptocurrencies, yeah.
Or cryptocurrencies.
Well, I guess there's two types of Bitcoins. So there's like Bitcoin Cash, which was supposed to break off from Bitcoin, and it did a mediocre at best job.
That's not a thing you want to hear for a currency.
No. well, because the problem was that because of the because of the transactions, or I forgot what it's called now, for every Bitcoin, for every transaction, it's recorded. So you know so Bitcoin knows how many exist, and you know the history of this coin and stuff like that. So it cannot be replicated. It cannot be, you know, or you can't pirate it.
Okay, so they have just like a form of authentication on each coin.
Trying to remember what it's called now. But yeah, the problem is though that it has gotten so big that it takes like minutes to hours to give somebody a coin or part of a coin.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that's where Bitcoin Cash was coming around to try to speed up that process or even like locally cash it. But it was, you know, it didn't, I think it created some issues and didn't quite track it fast enough.
Huh.
see. Blockchain. Those are the words. That is the word I am, the day that I'm looking for is blockchain. Which blockchain is also becoming really, really popular in Internet of Things devices. So they can, like if farms, when they go, you know, somebody has, oh, my farm has a dry spot. Well, does this have a history of dry spots? Is this, does the other thing say there's a dry spot here? You know, they all start talking to each other. They start, you know, there's a history of all this. It's recorded. It's not just like, hey, I have a dry spot. Turn on the sprinkler system. Now I was lying to you, or I'm broken or something, and I've just destroyed your entire farm. So you have to go through all this history of finding out, hey, is this real? Are you telling me the truth? We might need to check you out. Or, yes, you're telling me this one thing. Let me check everybody else. Oh, they're also saying they're dry. Okay, sprinkler system should be turned on.
So it has to go through a series of, like, communication and or whatever they need in return to make it work.
Yeah. And yeah, and there's a history. The blockchain is a record keeping system.
That's interesting.
So that's what, you know, so in smaller things, and there's even internet companies that are trying to work with it, because with so much, you know, windmills on people's property or solar panels, especially like in Idaho, where we can sell our power back to the power company. Some communities, not in Idaho, because I think it's way easier apparently here, but some communities are grouping together. So there's a blockchain of history. I can sell back to the company or sell to the grid. My neighbor, so it doesn't have to go all the way back to the power company and then go be sent back out. And actually, maybe Idaho should probably go this way, because you don't have to worry about the power tracking as much. But so the power doesn't have to go all the way back to the power company to be sent back out. I can just give it to my neighbor. My neighbor needs it. Now, my neighbor owes me the part of it. Yes, the power company is taking skim off the top because it's their hardware. But I get a percentage of I gave you power. And vice versa. Now, I need power because it's nighttime and I didn't store any of it. I'm now bringing it back in. Now, I'm giving out. And they even have set up where after so much time, like maybe you are a power plant, you know, maybe you're just making more power than you can. You're banking all this stuff and you can cash it out.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, so it's kind of like sharing in a way,
yeah.
Just like you can store and share kind of thing.
And in their community, here it's different. There's so Idaho Power has decided how much your power is worth if you sell to the company. In that, you can actually set how much your power is worth. Obviously, if you start like jacking the price up, people are just going to get from the power company or what something else. Your power is not going to be used.
So, does that make a less monopoly type thing by doing?
It kind of would, because there's competition again. And all of it, which would actually add, because some places have competition for power or other utilities. This would really heavily introduce competition, which would alter prices. Plus, if you know you have solar panels, if they've paid for themselves through this, drop out the price. You know, it's just fun now. Yeah. So, blockchain word of the day. I want to go back to games. So there's a new game that South Park came out with. I actually did not tell any of you about it. And I don't know if either of you actually heard about it.
I haven't heard about it.
Alex, did you hear about it?
Separate Butthole. Or wait, no, what was it again? The one that's the one that the gag is has Butthole in the name.
No, that is the computer and console version. This is a mobile game.
Yeah, I've heard nothing about this.
Yes. Yeah, it came out like a week ago, I think, because I was on like the I want to get into this game list. And so it's called South Park phone destroyer. And it's entertaining because the kids want to play, South Park want to play Cowboys versus Indians, but the Indians always win. And how dare they, you know, we need somebody to help the Cowboys so they can win. And they know a kid who's always on his phone and is really good at it. And next thing you know, you're getting a phone call from Cartman. Because you're the kid.
Do you talk to Cartman? Do you, as like Bill, talk to Cartman? Or does your character talk to Cartman? Like, is it like an RPG? Or I guess I just pull up and look at the game.
Actually, he just more talks to you. He's like, hey, new kid. You can make your avatar and everything, but he's like, hey, new kid, go dress up as a cowboy and come outside and play with us all. And don't forget your phone, because you use your phone, even in the game, your character, your avatar in the game, is using his phone to, like, pull up. It's kind of like a card game almost, like you gain energy over time, and then you play cards, which gives you characters to fight for you. You have tanks, you have assassins, which are, you know, tanks can obviously take a lot and kind of sort of hit assassins. They can hit hard, but they can't take any hits, and then you just have the regular fighters.
It kind of almost looks like Plants vs. Zombies, like Hearthstone slammed together. But it's
maybe a more modern version. Well, I was thinking, because I'm used to mostly old Plants vs. Zombies, where it's more of a defense game. This one is, you're like walking down the road of South Park and you're like summoning your cards and your opponent's summoning their cards and you're basically throwing characters at each other until one of you kills the other. I enjoyed it. The first two levels is the Cowboys versus Indians. And I beat the game. They're like, no one has ever, the Cowboys have never won. This is the fastest as anyone has ever done it. You are the person who's spends too much time on your phone. And Cartman's like, I have an idea. And then you move on to level 3, which is aliens versus robots.
You have to like throw away your gear every time and you like progress to a new level or something.
No, you get to keep all your gear, you get to keep all your cards, and you're just constantly evolving your deck. You get to have, like, I think it's like 10 cards in your deck. The one thing I've learned for the most part is you want to, especially in the PvP side, is you want a deck with low casting items. It's speed is the game. Like, even if you could, like, because I have some, like, big, powerful, high cast cost cards, and they're I never get them out, or when I get them out, suddenly I'm like standing there and waiting to gain more power so I can cast something else. So basically speed, low cost, just throw characters out.
It sounds kind of fun. I don't know if that's anything like playing Magic, the Gathering, or like any of those type of card games in a way, but I mean, just more on an actual game though.
Yeah. I wouldn't quite compare it to Magic. It's not quite that level. I'm trying to think if I've played a game similar. I'm not sure if I have.
I haven't played very many of those games like Magic or WoW, the card game, or
the Hearthstone one. Isn't that it?
I've not played that.
No, I haven't played it.
Have you played Hearthstone?
I downloaded it, but that's as far as I got. Like, so Magic the Gathering player recommended I try it out to like get familiar with the rules for MTG, but yeah, I never actually popped it open.
Yeah, and I downloaded, you know, the Hearthstone. So I never really played it because I never was into WoW. I played Magic on phone, computer, IRL. Lots of IRL. I mentioned IRL. Skyrim has, or Elder Scrolls Online has a game like Hearthstone. It's on computer and phone and tablets. It's still, you know, you just more can, you can cast, like, it's your turn, you can cast. Yeah, I don't, yeah, no, this one, like, it's a time thing. Like, as time goes along, you gain the ability to cast things. I'm sure there's a game out there, I just haven't played it, or I don't remember it off the top of my head. But I've been enjoying it, and every time the servers go down, which, it's a new game, like, really new, so which means it happens, and sometimes you won't even realize it, you get free stuff. They're nice like that.
That's nice.
Mm. They don't have the initial introductory, like, you know, like, you can buy the Cartman cash to advance faster in the game. The you know, pay to speed up the game. Because you can play for free, just like all the other ones, permanently. But there's, I'm used to a lot of these games having, like, oh, for 99 cents, you get 10 times the amount of the currency we want you to buy for the first time only. And they didn't have that. And I'm not sure if, you know, like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm still, so I'm just kind of like going through the game and just playing along. It's not too difficult yet, at least.
Have you gotten very far then? Just,
I've gotten to level 3. I really not good at PvP. That's where I learned that speed was the thing, because I think I've won like 2 games out of, I don't know, like 20. Terrible PvP gaming skills. But that will lead us to a new game, another mobile game. It's like a Pokemon Go. And it's Harry Potter, Wizards Unite.
I haven't heard of that either.
I saw a Kickstarter for that.
I think Otaku is where I read the, is where I originally read about it. And I didn't like, yes, I posted the Kotaku article for the announcement on the Trello board. So we stick that in the show notes. Yeah, I didn't really hear much about it other than it's just like, it's Pokemon Go, or that other game that was the precursor to Pokemon Go that you played a whole bunch, the one where you like control monuments and stuff. And yeah, it's just that with the Harry Potter IP.
Yeah, it may have been an Indiegogo. I don't remember. I remember seeing it because you could have a wand and had invested early. But yeah, so you can wait. And that's the thing, is if you got the wand, it ties into, so it's kind of different with Pokemon Go with that. So you have the external items that you can play that work with your phone, so which would make the augmented reality entertaining. And it sounds fun. I'm not totally sure about how smoothly it's going to go, because, like, you know, some people are like, oh, this is Niantic's or Google's next thing. And I don't think it's Google. Who was it now? Warner Brothers?
Well, Warner Brothers, actually, they've generally been pretty okay with game, translating their IPs to gaming products.
Yeah, but I don't know, because Pokemon Go wasn't even Google's first augmented reality location-based game. So, you know, I almost feel like this could be, you know, kind of like Apple Maps compared to Google Maps, because Google spent with, I forgot the other game one as now, but their Niantic's, first one, you know, we went out and got locations and kind of mapped out a lot of stuff. And there was a lot of building in this game. While, so it prepped up, it was years of building, and so it prepped up for Pokemon Go. If Niantic, or if Google, isn't going to be behind this, then it could be an issue for
Ingress. I can't believe I forgot Ingress. The name of that, because, like, everyone Pokemon Go came out, I just was like, yeah. Ingress, both Pokemon.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I think I still have it on my phone. Because I'm like, occasionally I like pop in. I'm like, all right, take over locations. Hey, nobody's playing this game now. There's also all the memes of like walking around. It's like, are you playing Pokemon Go? No, I'm playing Ingress. Leave me alone.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and actually there's apparently another Ingress game called Endgame, Proving Ground. Okay. I actually have not heard about this one. Okay, so yeah, I don't know about Endgame, but the Harry Potter one, it's maybe them? Maybe Warner Brothers will work with Google? It'd be nice. It'd be really nice if they would.
Yeah, you can't really trust like the most of their like not Google Maps, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, there are like a few. There are like open. I think it's called Open Maps, but like other than Google, there really isn't a good option out there. And Bing Maps kind of sucks. Facebook's thing kind of sucks. Open Maps is like open source, so I guess that's better. But its data isn't like as nearly as good as Google's. But then again, Google does pay like people to drive around with a weird camera on their roof. Mm-hmm.
And even, yeah. Oh, and even more so, they've even paid people to go off-roading, four-wheeling, and they have trucks with the Google stuff on it. Like people have driven up mountains and all that.
Yeah, that's a bit of an edge.
Yeah, it was actually kind of cool. So apparently Endgame was announced but never released. It was another AR game where you could interact with the world. Apparently, I don't know. It was a storytelling game, went around. I have no clue. Oh, and apparently there was 12 different clans or families you could choose from instead of the 2 or 3 they are using. And you have to recover the 3 keys and thus decide humanity's fate.
Sounds very important.
I know. Apparently it was supposed to be released back in 2015. So actually, it was supposed to come out. Actually, was it? Aren't we on? Yeah, we're just past the first year anniversary for Pokemon. So this should have. It was apparently supposed to come out just before Pokemon. Yeah. Could have been interesting. They might still go back. That's the other thing about Google is that they sit on their stuff and they're like, well, maybe. Could have been fun. But hopefully Harry Potter's good. I'm voting for success. I'm hoping for success. Because it just sounded fun, even with all the, and I think it was Indiegogo I saw. It was trying to push a lot of stuff. So it was, I'm really excited. And plus, even though I didn't Indiegogo for the wand, I might afterwards. Now.
Are Pokestops, do you know if like those are going to be
Google or not. If Google's the one behind it, maybe. Yeah, I could see that. Pokestops and Pokemon Gyms or in Ingress portals. You know, I could see these being, if Niantic is the company that's going to be behind it. Otherwise, that's a company, otherwise Warner Brothers is going to have to figure out what they're going to do with it.
So everything is still kind of in the works right now, right?
Yeah, I know the Indiegogo is gone because I think I had like a chance to get into it and it was close to dying. Maybe it wasn't an Indiegogo. Maybe it was. I don't know.
It
now.
Will remain a mystery.
Magus? Oh, no. I might be mixing up my. It's not. The Indiegogo game I saw was Magus. It might not have a wand. Apparently, Magus sounds better.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a good sign, because like if this was supposed to come out like a year ago and they're just doing the press release now, that's the launch announcement now. That's that's not so great. But I mean, if they're just like, look at this this shiny new thing, and it is still a shiny new thing, that's generally a good sign. Or at least it's a indifferent sign.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not a bad one.
Yeah. Yes. So maybe, I don't know, I could also see this, that where this was, funded a year ago and it was supposed to come out sometime since then, probably. I mean, they were doing, it looked like it'd be a lot of fun. Maybe Warner Brothers got behind this, I could totally see, where Google did work with Nintendo for Pokemon Go. I could see Nintendo working with Warner Brothers. Oh, apparently there's a beta access going on.
Good for
on.
Them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, so everything was going to be delivered in May 2017. And that's when the open beta stage started. And all physical perks will be shipped in winter 2017 due to cause delay. That was the weirdest sentence I ever read. Okay, no, it's not. But so it looks like there was a delay. But there's an open beta. You just have to pay to get in. It costs $30. So that's for Magus. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes. That's not Pokemon Go. Because that's actually the thing, is that Magus is not, or not Pokemon Go, Harry Potter Go. Hobogo. HPG. We'll go with that, HPG. let's see. Along with other Nintendo news, let's go with that. Will Super Mario Odyssey.
For Mario, anyway.
The fastest selling game of all time. Mario, I forgot.
I would be surprised if it's a Mario game, but yeah, there's got to be something that sells faster. I like that. I'll bet it's like a GTA.
I think the largest selling game is like Mario and Duck Hunt, isn't it? Because it came with all consoles. Or was it Nintendo Sports? Probably something like that. Apparently, Super Mario Bros. 40 plus. Mario.
I'm just wondering, like, fastest selling. I'm just wondering what that is. Because, I mean, that's a very specific statistic. Because, yeah, like, lifetime sales, like, it's. Super Mario Bros. Is.
Okay, I was wrong. Bag,
partly because it's been re-released so many times.
There's one that's more. I read from bottom, from last to largest. The largest number. Etc. At 495 million.
I can find like single day launches. GTA 5 sold 29 million copies first day. So, yeah, I definitely believe that. And Super Mario Odyssey sold 1.1 million copies in 5 days. So, I mean, it's gonna keep selling like tons of copies. But.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Zelda Breath of the Wind is considered Nintendo's fastest-selling launch title of all time.
Oh, nice.
1.3 million sold in the U.S. in the first.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild is a good game. They're also releasing like a bunch of new content. So there you go. Like I think it's I'm not sure exactly when. I haven't turned on my Switch in like a couple of weeks, but there's like a new content pack. Content pack. That includes I think like sides, like the champion side stories, which I think I'll pull that up and just see when that came out. I'm clearly uninformed about this. It's like the second pack.
Oh, no. Yeah. And I'd heard about stuff. And they were also releasing another round of
Amiibos, the
little toys they called. Yeah. Those, I know they're releasing another round of Amiibos. But you're right, I haven't turned on my Switch in a bit because I haven't traveled and my phone got better. It stores more stuff.
Yeah, no idea. I don't know what's coming out. I know they teased like a few extra, some new costumes for Hyrule Warriors coming out. But anyway, I guess keep an eye out for that. I can't find a release date for it. But yeah, so getting back to Super Mario Odyssey, it's totally fun. I've clocked a few hours in that, and it's probably my favorite modern Mario game. I like Super Mario World an awful lot, but I kind of like Odyssey a little bit better. If it had like good co-op, it'd be like just perfect. But
I know, I guess that there's
it's really good in Super Mario 3D World. That was 4-player simultaneous co-op, and it was kind of chaos, but it was really fun.
Yeah, I do like that one. Or like some of the Wii ones that have come out, like Super Mario Wii. Those are pretty fun too. Even if like you're jumping all over each other or...
That one was pretty good.
Yeah, it's... I haven't really played Super Mario Odyssey though. That's one of the Super Mario Brothers games that I haven't really played at all.
Like, I could definitely recommend it. Like I've got no reservations about saying it's like a good game, and it's definitely worth the game if you got Switch. Nintendo's like trying to make the new Kirby game stand out, because the new Kirby game is going to have like full co-op in like a big way. I'm not sure if they even have a title for it yet. It's coming out in 2018, so it gets a little ways off. I'm just like clearly uninformed. Like I keep seeing like, oh yeah, there's a thing coming out on the Nintendo Switch. I'm not sure when. I'm not sure what its name is. I don't know anything.
Meh.
Yeah, I can't find a working title for. I can't find a working title for the new Kirby game.
Mario.
They've shown like a ton of we know like, that gameplay much. Footage. It's I think up to 4 players at once on the screen, which is pretty darn cool.
And I thought they released or did a demo like one of the last gaming cons or something.
If you type in new Kirby game, it's not very helpful because there's a like Kirby game that comes out like every 2 years.
Yeah. There is something.
Oh, it does have a working title. It's Kirby, Kirby Star Allies.
You just search Kirby. There is something that just. Oh, there it is. Oh, I see. Right next to the other blank.
Good for it.
Yes. I was like, I thought we saw this.
This looks
like,
really cool. It looks a lot like the same engine they use for Planet Robobot and Kirby Triple Deluxe. So that will actually be really good because those play very nicely. Or at least it looks like it's the same. Like the level perspective and like the way Kirby moves and stuff looks absolutely consistent with the 3DS version, just like super high res. So yeah, I guess keep an eye out for that too.
I do like that you with the Joy-Con controllers that you can have the half Joy-Con controllers, or you can like add on more multi.
Yeah, it's good. Kind of cool. Nintendo is like trying to make the controllers a little bit more modular. I kind of dig that. Like, I don't know why like Sony and Microsoft have. I mean, Microsoft to a smaller extent has gotten on board with like having like different types of controllers, but like the layouts and stuff are the same. I mean, there's the adage that like if there's like that classic problem of if you don't include a peripheral in the box, no games are going to use it, nobody's going to buy it. But it's like Nintendo seems to get away with it with the controllers, because it's kind of like just pick whichever controller you like and use it, and it'll probably work in your game. I don't know how they get away with that, because like the Wii remote was like really different from like the other Nintendo controllers, but like for the most part, like Wii U games have like good support for most controllers unless it's specifically required the gamepad. It's like the Switch, like it just right now it's like 2 types of controllers and the button layouts are the same, so I guess it's how they get away with it. But you can even like use like USB controllers and junk with the Switch. Like if you have like an 8-bit DOE controller, you can use it with that, which is kind of mind-bending.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Now there is a Kirby game. What's the other stuff? Also, last Friday, the 10th, the Switch is getting adult games.
Doom 2016 got ported to Nintendo Switch. As far as I know, it's like the complete experience except for Snap Map. So if you don't want to do like custom maps or anything, which I haven't even bothered doing on the PC version of Doom 2016. There's supposedly some good maps out there, but I haven't tried it. But it includes the multiplayer and the single player. So yeah, you can totally get like the full Doom experience on the Switch, and it's mobile, which is pretty stinking cool. Because up to this point, there's been like no way to play Doom 2016 on the go besides like a laptop.
That is good.
And apparently it plays like really well. Like it does full 30 FPS at 720p, which I mean, wouldn't be impressive, except you can hold the thing in your hands. So yeah, good for them. I've thought about like maybe picking it up and playing through it again, but I already beat it on the PC like pretty much like the week it came out.
Yeah, this is one I didn't get into. Where I like Doom, but I just didn't get this one. So I can see maybe for me it'd be worth it. I was looking at the idea of like getting it digital or on the card. Like, I'll admit that digital is really nice. I just have it, and there it is. But having that little storage, you know, having a card, you gain, you know, the 32 gigs. Let's see. Micro SD free storage space minimum is 32 gigs to download the game. So I could buy...
I'd probably go with the physical game, too, because I think the only download... If you had Doom multiplayer, you have to do the download, but I really don't know anybody that plays Doom 2016 multiplayer. And the single player is like phenomenally great. And it's included on the cart. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense just to get the physical release and not worry about the massive download for it. Plus, you can do if you go to Amazon Prime, you can like buy it right now and get like 20% off.
Yeah, because even with a 30.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Especially a $60 game. Yeah, that's the other thing. I'll admit, slightly sucks is that $60 price tag for a game that's been around.
I'm not sure how much it is on Steam right now.
But oh well.
I'll look it up. I got Steam open.
Ooh, actually.
Doom is $30 on Steam. So if you don't have to have it portable, you might want to check it out for the PC. But if you want some portable Doom, which who doesn't, this would probably be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that came out too.
I noticed. Dark Skyrim. Portable. Yeah, I was like, huh, that's actually interesting. Oh, actually, I think that's weird. I don't know if you can get the discount.
Really? It should be like the release for the first, like, I think you actually have to put it in your cart to get it, but.
I see it next to Skyrim. I don't see it next to Doom. Or maybe it's, you know, they're...
Yeah, it should be within 2 weeks. No, they both came out the same launch date.
Oh, no. Skyrim comes out. No. Skyrim comes out this Friday. It's not out yet. So it comes out the day we release this podcast. Choices. Maybe I'll make my Switch. Maybe I'll destroy my Switch like Elder Scrolls has done to so many Xbox consoles.
Man, I hope this isn't like the fragile Nintendo console. Like, Nintendo's had a good run of basically console. Like, I mean, they do die at some point, but I'm just like hoping the Switch isn't like the first one.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming there's going to be a bad one at some point because everyone else's consoles just like explode if you look at them wrong.
Well, also Nintendo isn't trying to like do cutting edge as much. I feel like compared to the other ones, like we put in so much hardware into this and it's just going to, the video card's amazing. And did we mention that if you hold this thing for longer than 10 minutes, your hands may catch on fire from the heat. Yeah, so they're like, no, we can step it back a few generations.
The Switch and still is probably the most like cutting edge hardware console Nintendo's ever released. Like realistically, like it's got a Pascal GPU in it. So like it's like scaled down, but it's current gen tech. Mm-hmm. So like I mean Nintendo usually is like literally a generation behind everyone else for every single console release, but this one's like contemporary, just like kind of low end, which I guess. Good for you, Nintendo.
Yeah. They're kind of bringing back the portable idea.
I think that's a good idea, though.
What do you think, what?
I think it's a great idea that they actually are making it portable, because like, I know PlayStation has their PSP, so they made theirs portable, so I mean...
But just, so Nintendo's I like, because I can play it both, you know, console and portable. I had a PSP. I think I still have a PSP. It's in the bottom of a box somewhere. I didn't get the Vita.
Yeah, but I mean, to compete with like, you know, PlayStation or anything else, I mean, I think even Genesis like had some sort of portable unit as well. So I think besides just having like a newer version of Game Boy, because like Nintendo's biggest thing was kind of the Game Boy for being portable.
Mm.
But yeah, the Switch is kind of nice because you have the best of both worlds. So you can just kind of take it with you, but you can also just play it as is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think Nintendo even owned a like heavy, even when Sony finally took the nick out of their market share for portable, with the PSP and the Vita, Nintendo still owns so much of it. And the only reason they don't own so much of the portable market share for gaming, I think, is because of cell phones.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Things have changed and improved as far as technology-wise.
Yeah. Come on, my phone has a 8-core processor in it, a CPU, so... Obviously, you know, they come along pretty well. Actually, I think my phone has more processor, more, you know, cores than my computer does.
That's interesting. Like, what?
Okay. Maybe it might be two chips. I think it's two quad core processors, but still, that's impressive.
Yeah, that is. And you can just, that's portable too, and you can take it anywhere with you.
Better works. It's all right. But then there's Nintendo. It looks pretty. And the controllers just slip on the sides. Or you can just throw them at the screen. All right. Let's see. I want to talk about Star Wars. For those that listened last week and they were here last week, I was giving Joe a hard time about there being another trilogy. And he was like, nah, that'd be stupid. Well, guess what? There's another trilogy.
So is it actually like
another Star Wars trilogy?
Is it like part of the same plot of the first two trilogies? Or is it like a different timeline or something? Like, is it... It's not going to be.
It's not going to be the Skywalker.
Is it
going to
be like Old Republic times or like in the future? Or?
It's not going to be. This is not the this. They haven't fully finalized it. The rumors are old timeline. But the idea is they are handing it to Rian Johnson, who's the director for The Last Jedi.
Nice.
So he's going to be in charge of the new trilogy. Joe's a super fan of the director. I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. A director, you know, they... Star Wars is, I don't think they've had the same director on two movies, except for Lucas on 2 and 3. And we know how that went. Or maybe 1 and 2. Yeah. So I don't know. They just, it could be, like I said, it's supposed to be different. So they are supposed to be a different timeline. So they might be wrapping this up. That means with episode 9, The Death of a Jedi.
So how many movies total are there?
Everyone will be a gray
in
Jedi.
The Star Wars canon after the third movie in this new trilogy comes out. 12? Or are there going to be... Because we had 7. And that's clearly a continuation of the first trilogy.
After episode 9 hits, or when episode 9 hits, we won't have the in-between story yet. So we will only have 11, unless you want to count the...
It's canon.
Some of the other ones, like the Christmas special. But we won't worry about those.
Have you seen the Christmas special?
The theatrical movies. It's canon.
I actually kind of enjoyed watching it. Like it's like such a fever dream. It's fun to watch.
Maybe I'll give it another shot. Because it's the main numbers and then the sub ones that are coming out. So by the time episode 9 is released, there will be 11 theatrical Star Wars movies.
So it's going to be in between year, there's the going trilogy, to be so that's going to be 15 Star Wars movies Star Wars that come out.
That won't be numbered.
Dang.
Yes. Well, actually, I could totally see that they will do what they're currently doing and doing the back and forth still. And I think Disney's doing better on Star Wars movies compared to Marvel movies right now because I hesitated to watch Thor because I was like, we'll see how that goes. Because I was not a fan of Thor 2, and they pump out Marvel movies, at least a lot of them. And I'm kind of like, okay,
yeah, but once a year I can deal with. I mean, unless Disney just kills the Star Wars brand, they're going to keep putting them in theaters because people are going to keep watching them.
Well, they're going to keep on putting Marvel in theaters because Thor is the 7th in a row number one weekend. Number one movie they've released.
Yeah,
they're not going to stop with Marvel anytime soon.
Either. And like, there have been rumors that Fox is going to sell off X-Men to Marvel. Like, it's just going to keep, like, cult furnace is just going to keep burning. So.
Yeah. No, they keep on rebooting that and it keeps on succeeding. It's like, we did good. We did amazing. We did good. This one kind of sucked. Let's redo it again. We did amazing. We did good. This one kind of sucked again. They really have an issue with a trilogy on X-Men.
I guess good for Disney. That's going to be cool for them.
Yeah, it would be nice if they go like, yeah, Old Republic, young Yoda.
It's not like there's a lack of lore that they can dip in, that they can't dip into. I mean, there's probably more written about the Star Wars universe than the Civil War. So,
but the best part about it is that Disney has already said what is considered canon. So the fact that they can dip in and kind of borrow it means that they don't have to follow it. They just have to follow things that have been very specifically talked about in the movies and in the Clone Wars and in Rebels, but they don't have to. They can introduce the story of these, things they've been talked about in a better way. Or I guess books, and we got books and comic books and video games. We got Disney kind of like built the canon a lot. But with that, we'll finish up with Thor and the spoiler edition of it. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I actually enjoyed it. If you want to be spoiled or have already watched it, stick around. And also, I realized, I think it's probably like a B+, A-.
So Alex, what's your vote? I really liked it. It's up there with Guardians, Deadpool, and Days of Future Past for my favorite Marvel movies.
I think I'd probably agree with him on that. But I'd probably say like an A-, because I think it was a really good movie overall. And I thought it was really funny. the jokes that they kind of threw out on it. So I really enjoyed it.
All right. And I think I'd give it, yeah, like, I think 8 3/4 Mew Mews out of 10.
I kind of like that they never, like, came back to that. Like, Thor quarters, didn't get a new hammer. Things. It's like, oh, he's the God of Thunder. And that's it. He doesn't have to have his dumb prop anymore. Because, like, that's also kind of like a building moment for him as a character, because he, like, matured a little bit. Like, he didn't need this thing. Like, he'd gotten past, like, needing this crutch and like, I guess, like, in some way, like, improved as a person. Like, that personal growth is, like, kind of the running theme of all the Thor movies. And it was kind of nice that they did that, but they did it in a way that was a little bit unexpected.
Which is better than most, because he's such a powerful being. And his problem with some of these, you know, beings that, you know, the Hulk, you know, Superman, back on those, they're so powerful that you can't, like, do development of this character. So Thor, he's still a powerful character. You know, he's a god. So they worked on, you know, development.
I enjoyed his superpower throughout the movie, though. Mm-hmm. Like, as they were kind of introducing, like, the fact that he doesn't have to use that hammer. And, yeah, I thought it was done well as far as, like, introducing his power further with the story itself. I thought it was done well.
Yeah. Okay, so yes. Did you guys stick around for the after-credit scenes, the two of them?
I stayed.
Okay. I read the last one and I didn't stick around because I was like, eh. Do you think the last one, the actual, not the mid-credits?
I think so.
The after-credits,
I mean, if Jeff Goldblum is not, like, one of your favorite actors of all time, yeah, don't bother. It's dumb. But, like, if you like Jeff Goldblum's, like, exaggerated version of his persona that he always, like, his, like, character actor that he always plays. If you enjoy that, then yeah, stick through it, because it's essentially like just the same character he plays in all of his movies. You just more of him. So I guess if you're a huge Jeff Goldblum mm-hmm. fanboy or fangirl or fan person, stick around for it. Otherwise, nah. It feels like superheroes beating the crap out of each other. There's nothing for you there.
I'd second what Alex said about it.
And I think that was the other thing, is I, knowing how he is, I was like, had already, like, pictured it all in my head and played it out, so it felt like I kind of watched it, but I was like, yeah, I need to, and I think it was also late. I was like, I think I might be done. So I left. But I saw the mid-credit scene. I thought it was interesting. I still haven't done my homework on it, so I don't know what the ship is. And so I probably should research that.
Is there anything you didn't like about it?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Let's crap on it.
I felt like the jokes. I liked Guardians, the first one, better. I felt like they tried too many jokes on this one.
Do you feel like it got obnoxious?
It was funny. I don't know. Funny Hulk. I was not a fan of Funny Hulk. Like, the scene in the commercial. Even when I saw the commercial, I was like, and the same reason I wasn't a fan of Drax in Episode 2, or in Guardians 2. I'm just like, no.
You're free to be bugged.
It bugged me. I don't know why. Yeah.
If I had to compare, like, Guardians 2 and this movie, I did prefer the jokes a lot better in Guardians 2 than in this movie on Ragnarok. It was kind of weird as far as, like, the interactions that they had as they were kind of pulling the jokes and stuff. I didn't feel like it was as smooth as, like, what they had in the second Guardians movie.
And it wasn't all the jokes. I'll agree with you on that. This is like, you know, there was just a few of them. I think it was mostly that scene. Yeah, I'm burning fire. You're smothering fire.
I was actually trying to think of something I disliked about it. I think it was just they showed too much in the trailer. I really liked it. I've got basically no complaints about it. I don't know.
Okay.
Even though I asked that question of you guys, I can't come up with an answer. I really don't have a complaint about it, besides I didn't like the way they did the marketing for it. They should not have shown that off. And
yeah,
that's probably about it. Some people didn't like the cameo from Doctor Strange, and I thought it was an okay cameo. I guess the other big spoiler, Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch does make an appearance in it, and I thought that was like a good way to do Doctor Strange, because a little of that character goes a long way. So, I mean, if they interject with him just like a little bit here and there, I think that character works better. So I'm kind of hoping that's just becomes the regular thing for Doctor Strange, and like they don't do like another whole movie about him.
Well, and that he's good as a leader of the Avengers. I think he doesn't need to be, you know, constantly there, kind of like who's the last guy of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Samuel Jackson's character, Nick Fury. He's kind of like, he should be a Nick Fury because he's so powerful.
I forgot the name of the series. The first Thanos Infinity Stones plot. Do you ever read through that one? So that one, Doctor Strange basically is the de facto leader of the superheroes that are left to go take on Thanos. So they maybe establish him as the leader, because that's actually how it happened in the Marvel universe. So I never read Ragnarok, so I don't know if it's the same death that's in because for some reason Marvel Comics, they've got actual just dumb characters like Death and Dracula as actual characters in their universes. So I don't know if this Death is the same one that's going to be the same Death that Thanos is trying to hit on. If it is, I think that's a good setup. So I'm kind of hoping that is the Death that's going to be in the Infinity Wars. And they basically set up the same way with the current cast they've got. I just think that'll work okay. It's probably going to suck like the Avengers 2, but I mean, at least they're going to try.
That'll be interesting. And I know because they've already had to change some of it as it was, because Adam was a big part of the Infinity War. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to
do with the...
And obviously there's X-Men and, you know, Fantastic Four.
They could probably skip some of that, because a lot of the Infinity Wars was. I better check this out, because Marvel's done this same plot line twice, where Thanos got a big sack of rocks and decided he's going to take over the universe. Infinity.
I did like when they destroyed the replica of the Infinity Gauntlet, because that was something that people have talked about. It's like, there's an Infinity Gauntlet there, and then she comes along. He's like, "Fake."
So it's the original series I think was the Infinity Gauntlet, 1991. So in that one, Doctor Strange was kind of the leader for the team. So there's also a later one that's the Infinity Wars, and I think they're going to base the movie off of. That'd be my guess.
Okay, now the 92, because that one had a lot of Silver Surfer and the Quest. And Doctor Strange was in that one. Yeah, that should be.
They're gonna have a hard time with not having Wolverine in there, but I guess if it works in the comic, Wolverine's just gonna die really fast, so it probably doesn't matter. The plot of the Infinity Gauntlet's so dumb anyway. If you ever read it, it's kind of cool that the Marvel Universe finally faces off the ultimate villain of all, like the ultimate, like unbeatable villain. And like, the problem is nobody can beat him. So the writers are basically like, Thanos is like, his arrogance is like his biggest weakness. And like, that doesn't even do anything. He just kind of like, at some point just kind of gets bored. And like, that's basically boredom. And like, being inept is what takes Thanos down more than anything else. Cause like, yeah, like it's the problem like the DC universe often has, where it just has these larger than life characters that can't be beaten. So like it has to, there has to be like this deus ex machina that is more or less just incompetent.
Mm-hmm. And that's why like with Adam or the Adam Warlock, where they brought him in, he ends up like getting the gauntlet, and because he's so powerful, he can put it on too, and
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty silly.
He ends up can beat them because of that.
So I guess good for them. They got a cast. They got some rocks. They got a glove.
Just have super powerful beam.
Yep.
They got six rocks.
They got
multicolored, technicolored. Yep. It kind of reminds me of the DC Darkest Night. You know, when there's the Black Ring, the Black Lantern, he kills everybody. And he brings you back to life with a Black Lantern ring. Yeah. There's just so many Lantern rings. There's so many Infinity Stones. All right, well, we probably should wrap things up.
Check out my Odyssey. It's
a
good game.
With Alex,
at least watch some YouTube videos of it. It's kind of fun to watch people screw around at it.
If you haven't gone out to watch Ragnarok, it's definitely a good movie. You should go out and check it out.
Actually, I was thinking, forget Thor Ragnarok. Justice League comes out. Go watch that. DC needs more money.